Hello, everybody, and welcome to the latest edition of the ALS Association podcast. We're happy to have you listening in and learning more about ALS, our Greater Philadelphia chapter, and how you can get involved, from stories ranging from persons with ALS to organizers to staff to researchers. We have a lot of different perspectives on this podcast, and we hope you're enjoying it. If you have questions or want to get involved in sharing your story, you can email me anytime, tony@alsphiladelphia.org. Today, I'll be talking to somebody who's been involved for many years with the Walk to Defeat ALS here in New Jersey. The Walk to Defeat ALS is our signature national event, and here at our chapter, we have 7 Walk to Defeat ALS events in Greater Philadelphia, and Hershey, Pennsylvania, in Bloomsburg, Pennsylvania, in Lehigh Valley, Pennsylvania, as well as Rehoboth Beach in Delaware, and Ocean City in Lakewood, New Jersey. That's where I am today, in the Lakewood area. And I'm talking with Kathy Cowan, who's been organizing a team here for the Lakewood Walk to Defeat ALS. Kathy, thanks for joining us for our podcast.
I'm very happy to be here.
So tell me how you became involved with ALS, how this disease started to impact your life.
In 2004, I had been diagnosed with cancer 2 days before I lost my brother to ALS. So one of the things that struck me, I had a chance I could fight cancer. There's a lot of money for research. Nobody really knows much about ALS and fighting it. So I decided I wanted to get involved and help those who didn't have a chance to fight, and in my brother's memory. So that's how I got involved. I saw something in the paper. My sister did about a meeting, and we went, and I've been involved ever since.
Wow. This is the first time we've met, as far as I remember, but that's pretty incredible. You could do all sorts of things, any sort of cause in your life, and to do that with that kind of life connection is pretty powerful. Have you met others who've had similar perspectives? Because you've met a lot of people through the time.
I've met a lot of people, and everybody seems to have their own story as far as what's affected them, you know, and other family members with different health issues. And I think you just, I try to do for all of them. And I know most people do. And some years I've met people that alternate which cause they do. Mm-hmm. But ALS has basically become my main cause. I always donate to the others, to cancer. I wouldn't be here without cancer research, but I want others for ALS to be here.
Well, we appreciate it. So tell me a little bit more about your brother. People don't know about him probably because we're broadcasting to places all outside this neighborhood.
My brother, he was my big brother, my hero. He was 16 years older than I am.
And what's his name?
Tom Farley. Okay. And he had been a soccer coach at Wall High School in Wall, New Jersey. He was a National Coach of the Year in 1979. He had 4 state titles in a row. He was just an amazing athlete himself and a terrific coach. He coached players that have been on the U.S. Olympic team and coached the U.S. Olympic team.
Wow.
He had a player who was an assistant coach on the national team. I'm sorry. And his players have gone far. They've done great. And he was just a great athlete. So to see him struggle with ALS, he started probably in 2001, I believe, is when the diagnosis came. Mm-hmm. But he had actually started to struggle prior to that, the late 90s. He noticed his leg would give out once in a while. He felt some weakness. He just felt like he fell a couple of times. He wasn't quite sure what was going on. Doctors thought it was something with his back, with his neck. He had a little surgery, and that didn't seem to do anything. So finally, he got the diagnosis in 2001 of ALS and passed away in 2004. But he was pretty well known in the soccer world in Ocean County, New Jersey, Ocean and Monmouth County.
Well, I'm sorry about hearing all that. And I'm glad that you've continued to be involved. In the 90s and early 2000s, there was a lot less known. The internet wasn't necessarily as prevalent. Mm-hmm. The idea of Googling something in 1999 wasn't something you did as a verb.
No.
So it must have been a challenge for him and for all of you, just learning about it as it came together.
It was. He was very frustrated because he felt he couldn't get any answers. And finally, he did meet with a doctor who was able to diagnose it as ALS. Yeah. He was fortunate. He always felt very fortunate in a lot of ways that some of the things that affect many patients with ALS, he had not reached that point. But he, as far as losing the ability to speak and having to use the computer to communicate, he had not reached that point.
Well, did he eventually lose his ability to speak?
It got harder for him, but no.
That's good. Losing the ability to communicate is always one of the hardest things. And I'm sure since you've been involved for 10 years now, mm-hmm. you've probably met a lot of people that have had that kind of, all yes. sorts of different approaches to the disease.
Yes. And he was very independent. he didn't want to ask for help. He didn't want to need help. But he finally, you know, did resign himself to certain things that had to be done.
So at the time, you didn't know a whole lot of ALS, about ALS mm-hmm. beforehand, which is normal.
My only knowledge was the movie about Lou Gehrig. Mm-hmm. That was the only time I'd ever heard of ALS. And until my brother was diagnosed, I never heard of anybody with ALS that I knew. Mm-hmm. It wasn't, you know, something you heard about cancer. Everybody seemed to have a family member somewhere, but you never heard of ALS. Mm-hmm. And now I hear it quite often.
Now, hopefully, after he got the diagnosis, that there was some support available for him then.
Yes. There was support. He was resistant. Like I said, he was very stubborn and independent. Mm-hmm. So that he did resist reaching out for a lot of support.
Well, I know that's a very fair thing to feel, I think. You know, it's one thing to lose your ability to walk or your speech, but we all hate to lose our independence, no matter what it is. I mean, I have a one-year-old. He doesn't like losing his independence when we're putting him to food to eat. So.
Yeah, it's a hard thing to give up.
So since then, you've probably learned a lot. I'm not going to say you're a national expert necessarily, but you've come to see ALS a lot in the past 10-plus years, right?
Oh, definitely. And just the knowledge of others becoming more aware of ALS, the Ice Buck Challenge, what that did this year was just incredible. Mm-hmm. And people who have known that I work for, you know, I support the ALS and that I'm involved in the walk committees and getting a walk team together with my sister, they've always known it was important to me, but they said it wasn't until the challenge when they went in and saw videos of other people dealing with ALS that they realized what a horrific disease this really is. Mm-hmm. And I think it opened a lot of people's eyes to the devastation of the disease, but there is hope and the research is making great strides. And that's why the walk is so important to raise funds to keep that research going.
So when did you get involved with the walk? Let's go.
2004 was the first year we got involved. Like I said, he passed away in January. The walk was that May. So we heard about it. We went to a couple meetings. Wasn't really involved in the planning of it, but just went to the walk that year.
We'll give you credit for coming to the walk for 10 plus years. You don't need to.
And then the following, you know, then I got on board with the committee and I've been on ever since.
So you've been doing, this will be your 11th year doing it? That's pretty amazing. Actually, is this your 12th year doing it since you did it in 2004?
No, I think this is the 11th year actually being involved.
Okay. That's amazing. I haven't done many things for 11 years at all.
I missed one or two for a college graduation for my sons, but other than that, I was still on board with the planning and we still had a team. I just missed one or two.
We'll give you an A+ still. Okay. I mean, it's a lot to stay involved that long. I was talking on another podcast to someone in our office, Joan Borowski, who mm-hmm. you met, yeah. and we're talking about how many people have continued doing events or appeals or sharing their story for many years, and it's very inspiring to me and other staff members when you wake up and it's early. You never want to just do traffic and do work, right? But you realize people keep doing it, so if they're going to keep doing it, I'm going to keep doing it.
Yeah,
I think that's how other people who are involved in all sorts of ways feel. So how has the walk changed since 2004? You know, a lot of the world's changed since then.
It's definitely grown. And a part of me feels, you know, excited to see more people getting involved. But it also makes me sad because you realize that there are so many more people with ALS mm-hmm. than you ever imagined. So for that part, seeing it grow is sad. But knowing that there's awareness and funds being raised is the good side of it. That's the upside. Yeah. So that's what keeps you going.
Yeah, we were talking before we started the recording. My grandfather, he was diagnosed in 2005, so just after mm-hmm. your brother passed away. But he had symptoms at probably around the same time, too, right. for a couple of years. And passed away in 2007. And things that exist now, a lot of it didn't even exist seven, eight years ago.
Right.
So I'm sure you've seen some progress. And that's got to make it feel good, motivating to keep doing it.
Yes, it does. And you see a lot of people, I've seen a lot of people change on the committee. You know, there's been people that have become very involved when they have somebody who currently is facing the challenges of ALS. And if they've lost a family member, sometimes for a year or two, they may stay involved. And you meet a lot of people. But a lot of people... It's hard, I think, sometimes, too, because you need to have the closure.
Mm-hmm.
And I think for some family members, once they reach a certain point, they need to distance themselves. Still stay involved with the fundraising, but I think it's hard for them sometimes to come out and do the walks.
Yeah, well, that's always understandable. But part of the reason people would be willing to do the walks is that, you know, to get that involved, I'm sure, is because they see that it's a well-organized event, right? That, I mean, if it was a sloppy event, people are like, I want to stay away from that. So,
well, Allison Walker has been in charge of our walks,
mm-hmm.
and she's dynamite, and
she'll appreciate that.
She does a great job. It basically, I shouldn't say this, but she has it set up so it almost runs itself.
Mm-hmm.
You know, she is on the ball. She has it all organized. Everybody has their contacts, and basically, you know, we have our meetings, Blue Claws, Lakewood Blue Claws. I can't say enough about their involvement and what they've done. And Jim DeAngelis there, his involvement. I mean, they just, those two people, what they do for this walk is incredible. And they make it work. And when we lost the boardwalk, Seaside Boardwalk, with Hurricane Sandy, the Blue Claws opened up the stadium for us, and we've had the walk there the past couple of years, and they've been tremendous. So it makes a difference when you have good people involved that know what they're doing, and it helps. It helps it to become a well-organized event, and people like to come.
That's really, I mean, I've every time I've gone to a walk, from the first one I went to just a couple months after starting, I was really impressed that things just started happening. You know, it's like the table started getting set up, and then before the walk is over, it's already halfway taken down.
Oh, yeah. They have it all planned. They have it all set up.
So I'm just getting some information here. So what's your team name?
We're Farley's Faith Keepers.
Okay.
My brother would always say, you know, every time he'd end a phone call with me or I'd be leaving from seeing him, he'd say, you know, love you, girl, keep the faith.
Mm-hmm.
And so we came up with Farley's Faith Keepers because as long as you can keep the faith and keep strong, that there will be a cure, you know. So that's what we've gone with.
And how many people come out for your team?
It varies. The family has gotten much smaller over the past few years, and we've had anywhere from, you know, maybe three of us walking to maybe 20 of us walking.
Mm-hmm.
So it really depends on the year. My sister does a lot to organize the team since I'm on the committee.
Mm-hmm.
And this year, she won't be around for the walk, but she has a family obligation from her other side of the family. But it's, you know, it could be 10 of us this year or it could be 20. We're really not sure.
Well, either way, you'll be surrounded by hundreds of other people for the same cause,
yep.
in Lakewood. And we'll just pause for a second here to let you know you can sign up for the Lakewood Walk to Defeat ALS, which is on May 2nd in Lakewood, New Jersey. It's easy to remember, www.lakewoodwalktodefeatals.org. Of course, you don't have to just go to that walk. We have 7 walks total, and you can go to all of them at www.gpcwalktodefeatals.org. That's GPC for Greater Philadelphia Chapter. Or you can go to www.alsphiladelphia.org. Now, you've seen a lot of cool walk teams, met a lot of people. Have you met some great people through the walk through these years?
Absolutely. People on the committee and team members, people with ALS, they're all phenomenal. And everyone, they're just good people. And when they're out there for the walk, there's such a spirit that it's just contagious. Mm-hmm. You know, everybody is there for the cause, from little ones walking, people with their dogs coming. I mean, it's a good atmosphere. It's an atmosphere that's positive, and it's happy and it's hopeful. And that's the best part. And when they used to have it on the Seaside Boardwalk, the first couple of walks, the thing that struck me the most was people would say, "Can you take our picture?" And they'd give somebody a camera and say, "Can we get a group shot?" Mm-hmm. And it started to become a yearly tradition where we ended up with a ladder finally and somebody on top of the ladder so that they could get everybody in that was in the group. Because some groups would come and have, you know, 50 people. Mm-hmm. And to get them all in a picture, you had to be up on the ladder. And that, to me, was always the moment in the walk that would bring me to tears, to see the love and the support for a family member. Yeah. And that family photo and knowing what that means to people.
Well, it's nice going to an event like this where you could be in tears about ALS for sad reasons, but to be emotional because of good reasons that people are together.
One of the funniest stories is we were walking in Seaside and I had walked with my family and then I was going to speed walk back when we got halfway down so I could be back, you know, to help Allison and help the rest of the team get ready for the finish events there. And I'm walking back and this guy stopped me and he said, "I have to ask, who's Al?" And I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "Everybody's here walking for Al's." He said, "Who's Al's?" And I said, "It's not Al's, it's ALS." And he said, "I don't understand." So we stopped and had a conversation and he said, "Wow." He said, "I'll have to look for that next year and think about signing up." And it's funny. I mean, he just didn't understand. He thought it was Al's and it was ALS.
Well, that's a good thing about doing these events in public places. Yeah. We bump into, you never know who you're going to bump into. You know, here in Ocean City, especially, with how public the boardwalks are and the games and everything. That's got to be good that you can not just raise the money, which you've probably raised tens of thousands of dollars since you started.
Hopefully.
Well, we'll say you did.
We'll say we did.
Last year, the Lakewood Walk raised over $100,000. And our walks overall, our 7 walks, raised over $1.8 million, which all adds up to provide a lot of great care. And since our chapter walks have started back less than 15 years ago, our chapter walk program has raised over $15 million, which we're incredible. Pretty excited about what we can do for all these families. But we wouldn't be able to do that without people like you and these other team members getting together. So we appreciate it. But like I said, you're not just here to raise money, but it's got to feel good with this and then the Ice Bucket Challenge that people know the disease because your experience, you didn't know what it was beforehand.
I didn't know what it was. You know, and knowledge is powerful. And the more we can learn about it, the more we can help others. And you just become so much more aware of people and you realize what you can do and what will make a difference. And sometimes it's the smallest thing that will make the difference. And reaching out and talking to somebody and so many times in the source of, you know, of conversation with someone, something will come up about ALS and you find that there's a connection that they had a family member with ALS. And it's really, like we said earlier, you know, it's great in one way and it's sad in another.
Right.
You know, I wish we'd stop hearing of people with ALS and I wish the walk would get smaller because nobody needed our help. And we would have a walk just for celebrating the actual effort of walking that we're capable of doing that. You know?
I feel like everyone in our office would be fine with if being unemployed tomorrow if that was the reason. I think it would be easy for us to get a job if we were the organization that got rid of ALS. You know, there's no selfish reason to stay here.
Absolutely. And that would just, to defeat ALS. You know, my brother, we talked about the soccer. He was a fierce competitor. He liked to win. And he would want this battle to be won. This is the game he'd want won. You mm-hmm. know, this would be the big one to defeat ALS.
And so speaking of your brother and that he was known for his athletics and being a coach, how have people come to help this cause that were connected to him, you know, whether it's family, friends, former, anyone that was connected to him?
I know other players who live in other areas have gotten involved. They did some walks in mm-hmm. their areas, and some teams raised money mm-hmm. at different points. His granddaughters play soccer, and I know they've done the ice bucket challenge and move forward, you know, just trying to move it forward, pay it forward, and bring the awareness to others. So I think a lot of people, I've been at events and I've seen shirts, you know, we wear the soccer ball on our shirts mm-hmm. with the Farley Faith Keepers. And I've had people come up to me and say, you know, oh my gosh, Tom Farley. Yeah, we knew Tom Farley. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we have somebody with ALS as well, and we're walking for both of them. So it's nice.
I mean, that's great too, in a way, knowing that, you know, if you raised X amount of money through your team, but someone else who was connected to your brother is raising it in Colorado or New Mexico or Massachusetts, mm-hmm. it's just adding to it because everyone touches so many lives.
Right.
And you don't know how much that's going to spread to help others. So that's another positive thing, because, you know, your people with ALS are people first, and then with ALS comes second.
We, when we first started, I guess about 10 years ago, we were selling the wristbands, and at the time we had the opportunity to sell them in schools. I went to a lot of Ocean County and Monmouth County schools, and we got permission to sell them, do dress down days mm-hmm. where the teachers would pay to wear jeans to school on a Friday. And the schools were very supportive. After 2007, it got a little harder. 2008, everything with the economy changing mm-hmm. and things becoming politically correct, we saw a big drop in that. So mm-hmm. you really can't go into the schools and do as many things that way. But I still think the awareness was out there. You know, we got the ball rolling.
So that's a good way. So let's see about how you've raised money. So you've asked friends, you've done little events. Like, how can people, if it's their first walk or their 10th walk, what tips would you have for how they can make their walk team succeed in raising money and awareness?
I would say just write personal letters.
Oh, that's a good idea.
That's something my sister has done. She's picked up the ball on that. We did a letter together, and we have a picture of my sister and my brother's shoulders on Seaside, mm-hmm. on the beach, and that's where the first walks were held for mm-hmm. us. We're in Seaside. So we talked about in the letter how he used to carry us on his shoulders. Now it's our turn.
Oh, that's nice.
To basically carry his cause on ours. Mm-hmm. And, you know, we wrote about our brother and touched on what ALS takes from you. And it takes from you certain abilities. He lost the ability to walk up the steps to his church.
Yeah.
He lost the ability to run and teach with a soccer ball and teach his grandchildren how to play soccer. He lost a lot of things, but he also gained a lot in knowing how much he was loved and how much people cared about him mm-hmm. and respected him. Former players, when they found out, coming to see what they could do and, hey, you know, can we come and spend some time with him and sitting and talking and watching soccer games. But putting these things in a letter, putting it out there and saying, you know, we're raising funds, not just for ALS, but why you're raising it for ALS, mm-hmm. you know, you're raising it for a very personal reason, usually. It's usually for a family member or friend. And what would you love about that person and what you respect and admire and why you want to see it changed and what you want to do to help not just them, but people like them. And I think the personal touch, Facebook now is a great tool to contact people and put your information about your team. And asking people if they can join you, mm-hmm. you know, to walk. If they can't join you, can they support financially, make a donation? And if not, can they just say a prayer?
Yeah.
You know, that AOS will be eliminated, mm-hmm. you know, and anything will help. But I think getting the word out there and putting that personal aspect to it, you know, putting a face to it makes a big difference.
Well, that's my goal, our goal, my personal, because that's my role mm-hmm. at the chapter. But we definitely all want to increase awareness and let people know about those faces and stories. And I'm glad you brought up Facebook. If you haven't already, make sure to follow our chapter on Facebook and Twitter and Instagram and YouTube and and Pinterest, all at ALS Philadelphia. So it should be easy to find. There's thousands of people following us and sharing on social media. You should be one of them. It's an easy way to spread the word with stories and pictures and facts about ALS. And obviously, those tools were what were used in the summer of 2014 for the Ice Bucket Challenge.
Absolutely made a huge difference.
And this will be the first walk since that challenge. Last year, it's hard to believe that there was a world with ALS before then almost.
Yeah.
But this walk will be different in a little bit of a way because there'll be more awareness. How have you noticed not just the money raised, but how that awareness has changed with ALS since last summer?
People have said to me, you know, we had no idea. We really never comprehended what ALS was.
Mm-hmm.
You know, we knew it wasn't a good disease. No disease is, but we had no idea how extreme it was and the ages that it can affect. And there's no prejudice with ALS.
Mm-hmm.
You know, age doesn't matter. Your sex doesn't matter. The color of your skin, it doesn't matter. ALS, it doesn't play favorites.
Right.
And it's important to know that it's very universal and it's something everybody, it doesn't run in families. It's not contagious. It's, you know, it's there and we don't know why it's there. And that's the key.
Mm-hmm. And how did it feel to you just seeing all those videos day after day after day from, you know, neighbors and family members to, you know, the former president of the United States and Oprah Winfrey and everyone, like what was that sense of when it was going on?
Goosebumps.
Yeah.
You know, I couldn't believe that it had actually taken off like that. And my sons challenged me
mm-hmm.
and, or one of my sons challenged me. So I always tease the other one that he's my favorite now, you know, because you didn't put mom on the spot. But both my boys did it, my daughter-in-laws, even my little two-year-old granddaughter did it, you know. But it, you see everybody doing it, and people that did it that I reached out to, I was so touched that they did it. And most of them, I got a little frustrated. There were some things on Facebook about, you know, instead of doing a stupid challenge, people should just send money. And that's great, send the money, but I didn't just do the challenge.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you bring awareness. I also made a donation, and most of the people that I know who did it made a donation as well as did the challenge.
Yeah, I think people didn't realize they didn't have to.
Right.
I think everyone was donating.
Everybody
really.
Was donating, and if they didn't and they did the challenge and they brought more awareness because now they have spread it to other people, that's half the battle right there, spreading mm-hmm. the awareness. I just pray that people don't become complacent and say, oh, ALS raised a lot of money this year. So they don't need to. No, it's desperately needed because yeah. there is so much research. And we also, it's not just the research, it's what we provide for patients mm-hmm. to help them with their care. And in this day and age where everything is so expensive and insurance is difficult and not always covering things, I think the help that we can give families is immeasurable.
Yeah, I know. So, you know, our chapter has a number of multidisciplinary clinics with Pennsylvania Hospital through our chapter, Hershey Medical Center, Lehigh Valley, and up in Geisinger in northern Pennsylvania. And then obviously our in-home care program, assistive technology, having social workers be able to come help people, and so on. There's just a lot of things that exist that before I got here, I didn't even know that was, and that any disease could have that. Because my grandfather couldn't take advantage of many of those things. So it must be nice to see that this is making an immediate difference.
Yes.
And what that you can hopefully see from other patient families that come that they're taking advantage of the things that you've been helping to fundraise for.
Absolutely. It's a good feeling when you know that somebody's been able to breathe a little easier because of some of the things you've been able to help out with.
So that those are positive things. But let's, to take a different, lighter note, what are some of your favorite moments from past walks? And then what are you looking forward to this year? The Lakewood Walk is less than 3 months away now.
I'm looking forward to good weather.
Yeah. driving through the snow to get here. It wasn't that bad. I'm looking forward to where there's not snow on the ground.
We tease that we're not going to put Allison in charge of the weather because every time we plan a meeting in January or February, we get hit with snowstorms. So,
well, we always put the weather on the newest person in the office. It's their fault.
So it's not going to be, we don't put Allison in charge of weather for the walks. She does everything else is great. So, I'm looking forward to nice weather. Hopefully, the Blue Claws do an outstanding job of opening their home to us. Mm-hmm. And just looking forward to seeing people there in a hopeful spirit and realizing that we're making a difference. You know, I'm looking forward to seeing people that you only see once a year, people, you know, maybe from your office that I don't get to see very often. And
we hadn't seen each other very often before. So.
No, I don't think we've ever actually met before.
I was at the walk. Last year was the first walk I got to go to for Lakewood because it's around advocacy time. And that I always go to D.C.
Okay.
For Advocacy Day. And last year I was able to go, which was great, to Lakewood. And such a Lakewood Blue Claws, it's such a great place to have a walk.
It is, and they do a great job, and just what they do, they also do another event, a waiter event.
Mm-hmm. With Jim DeAngelis helping out, setting all that up.
And the players serve everybody. It used to be, the past few years, it's been at a Fridays in Brooktown, but the players just are great. And a couple of years, they did it at Blue Claw Stadium, and we had a dance line of, you know, players one time. They entertained everybody, and they were great, and it's a fun way to raise money and get out for a nice social event.
Mm-hmm.
But like I said before, some of the best moments of the walk are the pictures. To me, that's always the moment that I enjoy, is watching the families come together. One year, my uncle, who was quite elderly, was insistent he was going to do the entire walk. And it took him several hours. I think the closing ceremonies were done and gone before he could make it back. But he was determined to walk for my brother.
Oh, that's great.
And it's seeing the people that are determined to do the walk regardless of the weather.
Mm-hmm.
You know, that they will come out there and they want to get involved and do something.
And it's nice seeing people of all ages, from whether they're older and doing it for someone in their family, or whether they're just, you know, basically a young kid or even a toddler getting involved.
And I've seen people come up, I'll be at the registration table and I'll look up and I'll see somebody that I know. My son went to school with, you know, their son, or just through some involvement in the town. And what are you doing here?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, my dad had ALS. Oh, my aunt had ALS. Now, what are you doing here? Oh, it was my brother. And you have no idea.
Yeah.
You know, for years that people are struggling and dealing with somebody in their family who's going through the same thing.
Yeah, that's how I felt during the Ice Bucket Challenge, was seeing a friend of mine post something and said, oh, you never told me you had a connection. You know I work for this, right? Or I didn't know that someone you know has this. Can we connect you to this service or something like that?
It's,
like you said, you don't want to find that out, but it's always nice that you're able to give them something, whether it's
You're able to support each other and understand. And
that's a key thing, is you're not just supporting one person, it's supporting each other.
Yeah, and it's just realizing that you're not alone in this.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's nice to know you're not alone. Sometimes you think, okay, if I was the only person with this, maybe it wouldn't be so bad.
Yeah.
But it's hard knowing other people do have it. But as long as we can get the research and give the help in the meantime, I believe one day this is going to be, we're not going to need this walk.
Yeah. Well, we're looking forward to this walk, and we're looking forward to the day when it'll be our last walk.
I am too.
So thanks so much, Kathy. I'm really glad that you shared your story. I'm glad that you'll be there again on May 2nd in Lakewood, New Jersey, home of the Blue Claws. Again, you can register for the Lakewood Walk at www.lakewood.org. lakewoodwalktodefeatals.org or find another walk near you at gpcwalktodefeatals.org. Or you can get involved in lots of other ways, a volunteer, donate, be an advocate, share your story at alsphiladelphia.org. Is there anything else you want to add before we...
Just come out to the walk and give your support and bring the awareness and the sunshine.
Yeah, bring the sunshine. The more people that come with their bright faces, the brighter it'll be.
That's right.
So we look forward to seeing you all this spring at a Walk to Defeat ALS near you. Thanks so much, Kathy.
Thank you.